Segment 9, brought to you by KeyWestBusTour.com. Start this track at mile marker 38, approaching Bahia Honda State Park. Out the window to your left, you will see Bahia Honda Key. The railroad to Key West turned this once remote island into a tropical destination. Bahia Honda, meaning deep bay in Spanish, is unique among other islands in the Keys because it has sandy beaches, shallow reefs, and deep water close enough offshore to provide exceptional fishing and snorkeling. Today, the island is home to one of Florida's southernmost state parks and campgrounds. The park is known for its beautiful beaches. The subtropical climate has created a natural environment found nowhere else in the United States. Marine life is plentiful in the waters surrounding the island. Campsites and vacation cabins are available, although reservations for the winter months can be very difficult to get. That being said, Bahia Honda is well worth a stop just to walk on the beach or to the edge of the railroad trestle. There, you can stand on top of the bridge 100 feet above the water and view the old highway that was built on top of the railroad bridge. Kayaks and snorkeling gear can also be rented at the park, and boat trips for snorkeling on the reef are also available. Florida state parks are open between 8 a.m. and sundown every day of the year, including holidays. When traveling to Key West, visitors can see the remnants of an extraordinary feat of engineering, Henry Flagler's Overseas Railroad. Life in the Keys was changed forever by this construction project that began in 1905. At the time, Miami was a virtual outpost with 1,000 people. There was a couple thousand people in Jacksonville. Tampa had 4,000, but Key West had 22,000 people. It was a thriving naval station, coaling center, turtling and fishing capital, center of cigar making, far more important than any place else in Florida, but you couldn't get to it except by boat. Imagine that. The dream of one man changed the isolation of this beautiful place forever. Known as the father of Miami, Henry Flagler was an American tycoon, real estate promoter, and partner of John D. Rockefeller and Standard Oil. He was a key figure in the development of the eastern coast of Florida along the Atlantic Ocean and was the founder of the Florida East Coast Railway. Flagler's vision of the railroad project went beyond Miami. He wanted to connect the mainland with the deep port of Key West in anticipation of the growing shipping commerce he thought would be generated by the opening of the Panama Canal. Building the railroad was an extraordinary proposition. It seemed an economic impossibility. But Flagler was the man who owned Standard Oil and an endless supply of money. By 1904, the railroad extended to Homestead, Florida. By 1905, Flagler began what many perceived as an old man's folly, a railroad constructed across 128 miles of rock islands and open water under the worst conditions imaginable by men and materials that had to be imported from all over the world. Steamships brought fabricated steel from Pennsylvania. They brought cement from Germany and Belgium for use as concrete supports below the waterline, and cement from New York for above the water. Sand and gravel were brought from the Chesapeake, crushed rock from the Hudson Valley, timbers from Georgia, and provisions from Chicago. Barges carried fresh water from Miami to the construction sites. The only thing the boats didn't have to bring were the mosquitoes. By 1908, the first segment from Homestead to Marathon was completed, and Marathon became a boomtown. Cuban ships brought their cargoes of pineapple and limes here, where they were loaded onto railway cars and sent north. The 7-mile water gap between Marathon and Bahia Honda took some engineering prowess to overcome, and the completion of the project was severely hampered by devastating hurricanes in 1909 and 1910. But on January 22, 1912, Henry Flagler finally rode his railroad from Homestead to Key West to experience the fruition of his dream. He died the following year, knowing that his flight of fancy changed the course of the Florida Keys forever. The railroad flourished for 23 years. However, in 1935, Mother Nature reasserted her authority and once again changed the destiny of the Keys. On Labor Day, what today we would call a Category 5 hurricane hit the upper and middle Keys, destroying much of Flagler's Railroad. Hundreds of lives were lost when the 17-foot storm surge hit the crew working on a bridge near Isla Mirada. Because of mismanagement and lack of foreign freight, the railroad was already in receivership. The railroad chose not to rebuild, citing financial difficulties. It had by this time become cheaper to haul cargo by truck than by train. The county's Overseas Road Commission purchased the right-of-way and converted the single-track railway trestles, which remained intact after the hurricane, into two-lane bridges for automobiles. The highway from Homestead to Key West opened for traffic in 1938. We'll be arriving in Key West in about 25 minutes. To make the most of your time, it's important to map out the things you want to in advance. In Key West, that's easy because everything is so compact. There are two ways to have fun. You can immerse yourself in history at a variety of museums and landmarks in town, or you can immerse yourself in the clear blue water offshore. When it comes to history, many legendary people have lived in Key West, like playwright Tennessee Williams or John Audubon, who came here for the sport of hunting and became one of the world's greatest conservationists. But without question, Ernest Hemingway is Key West's most famous resident. Hemingway lived here, wrote here, and most definitely played here. And a trip to Key West is not complete without visiting the Ernest Hemingway House on Whitehead Street to see where Papa lived. When the Visitor Bureau included the house in a tourist brochure in 1935, Hemingway hired a friend to build the high brick wall that surrounds it today. Hemingway converted a urinal from Sloppy Joe's Bar into a water fountain where it now serves as a water source for the cats. The house was featured in the James Bond movie, License to Kill. This was Ernest Hemingway's home from 1931 to 1939. It was in this house that Hemingway did some of his best writing, including A Farewell to Arms, Death in the Afternoon, Green Hills of Africa, To Have and Have Not, and For Whom the Bell Tolls. The home is located near a prominent lighthouse and close to the southernmost point on the island. In 1968, the house was designated a National Historic Landmark. The home was built in 1851 by a marine architect and salvage wrecker. It stands at an elevation of 16 feet above sea level and is the second highest site on the island. In 1935, when the Visitor Bureau included the house in a tourist brochure, Hemingway hired a friend to build the high brick wall that surrounds it today. A unique feature of the grounds is the swimming pool, at the staggering cost of $20,000 to build. It was the first in-ground pool in Key West, and the only pool within 100 miles. The six-toed polydactyl cats around the grounds are descendants of the cats he kept while he lived in the house. The house is one of Key West's most historic places, and in 1968, it was designated a National Historic Landmark. The bookstore and museum are open every day until 5 p.m. A 30-minute guided tour of the home is included with admission. The American writer Tennessee Williams became a regular in Key West in 1941 and is said to have written A Streetcar Named Desire while staying at the La Concha Hotel. He bought a house in 1949 and listed Key West as his primary residence until his death in 1983. In contrast to Hemingway's grand estate, the Tennessee Williams house at 1431 Duncan Street is a modest bungalow. The Williams House is privately owned and not open to the public. Today, the rooftop bar at the La Concha Hotel offers a wonderful aerial view of the island. The hotel is located on Duval Street. It's easy to find because it's the tallest building in Key West. With over 50 years of military service, the U.S. Coast Guard Cutter Ingham offers visitors a wonderful portrait of Coast Guard history. This was the only cutter to receive 2 presidential unit citations for extraordinary heroism in action against an armed enemy. The National Memorial honors the 912 Coast Guardsmen killed in action during World War II and the Vietnam War. This floating maritime museum is open to the public Monday through Saturday. To really experience Key West, you must get out on the water. Because without a doubt, the most popular attraction is the warm blue waters that surround the island. Visitors can choose from snorkeling, jet ski rentals, and glass bottom boat rides to fishing charters, parasailing, dolphin encounters, and more. Considered one of the most historically important sites in South Florida, the Harry S. Truman Little White House is the place where President Truman planned the rebuilding of Europe and our response to the Cold War. It's where Dwight D. Eisenhower created the U.S. Department of Defense, and where John F. Kennedy may have made a decision that averted World War III. Visitors can tour the home and learn about the personal side of the Truman presidency. Some people have this idea that President Truman and others just came here to goof off for a while, and nothing could be further from the truth. There were tremendously important historical events that took place in Key West. The Little White House is located in the Truman Annex neighborhood of Old Town, near our bus stop. The museum is open 7 days a week. Tours are offered every 20 minutes until 4:30 p.m. The Mel Fisher Maritime Museum showcases gold, treasure, and artifacts recovered from shipwrecks around Key West. "Today's the day," was Mel Fisher's mantra, and incredibly, his lifelong dreams came true when after 17 years of searching, Fisher and his crew recovered a $450 million treasure from 2 Spanish galleons that sunk in 1622. 40 tons of gold, Colombian emeralds, priceless artifacts, and over 1,000 silver bars were found. The event astounded the world and made Mel Fisher a local hero. Today, Mel's spirit and discovery lives on at the Mel Fisher Maritime Museum. Visit the museum and feel the passion that Mel and his crew experienced as they recovered the motherlode. The museum is open daily until 5 p.m. Inside the Key West Shipwreck Museum, you'll see how those who made their living off shipwrecks in the 1850s watched and waited for ships sinking off the coast. You will learn about the true dangers of the era of shipwrecking and how it made Key West the wealthiest city per capita in the United States. You can also climb the 65-foot lookout tower and search for any wrecks on the reef. The museum combines actors, films, and the actual artifacts from wrecked vessels. Key West's historic cemetery is located in the dead center of Old Town. The cemetery holds the remains of Key West's earliest settlers. Within the compound, there are separate areas for Jewish and Catholic burials, while many of the Cuban crypts are crowned with a chicken statue associated with Santeria religion. There is even a special burial area devoted to pets. A statue of the lone sailor commemorates the loss of 252 crewmen on the battleship Maine, which was sunk in the Havana Harbor at the onset of the Spanish-American War. Due to the proximity of the water table, as you can see, most of the tombs here are above ground. If you decide to stroll around the cemetery, you can read some of the more amusing epitaphs on the headstones. "I told you I was sick," and "I'm just resting my eyes," among others. Cemetery maps are available at the front gate. In the eastern corner, near the intersection of Francis and Olivia Streets, you'll find some shaded benches that are a nice spot to relax. The Custom House is a historic site serving as the Key West Museum of Art and History. Self-guided tours take you through the era of pirates and tobacco salesmen to the life of Ernest Hemingway and beyond. See wood paintings of old Key West and portraits of famous residents. Find out how the Navy got rid of the pirates and how Key West went from rags to riches to rags and back. If you're taking the snorkel trip, the Shipwreck Museum, Custom House, and Mel Fisher Museum are all good things to do before you leave. The museums are close to the dock, the buildings are well air-conditioned, and the exhibits are fun. The Audubon House is a historic museum featuring the artwork of John James Audubon. Audubon is famous for his exquisite drawings of birds. Visitors to the museum are given a guided tour of the house and garden. You will hear interesting tales of local history and also have the opportunity to see many of Audubon's first edition works. Inside the historic Armory Building, the Studios of Key West was established as a new model for an artist community. It comprises a dozen working studio spaces, a main exhibition hall, and sculpture garden. A permanent AIDS memorial is at the White Street Pier. At the southernmost end of Duval Street, the Key West Butterfly Conservatory features a glass-domed tropical butterfly habitat. At the southern end of Duval Street, you will also find Southernmost Point Monument, a site you have likely seen in every single vacation picture you've ever seen of Key West. You will also find the Southernmost House, a striking Victorian mansion bordered by the Atlantic Ocean, the Ernest Hemingway House, and the Key West Lighthouse Museum, which preserves the history of the lighthouse built in 1847. Near the end of Duval Street, the Fort Zachary Taylor Historic Site was built on the site of Fort Zachary Taylor. The fort was built mid-1800s to defend the nation's southeastern coastline, and the museum there today contains a fine collection of American Civil War artifacts. Better known as Fort Zach to locals, the park is a National Historic Landmark, offering Civil War era history, beautiful beaches, and amazing views. The park has what is easily Key West's best beach, located at the southern end of the park. Provides spots for picnicking, swimming, snorkeling, and fishing. In addition to the museums and landmarks, there are two other main types of activities in Key West: water activities and city activities. When it comes to city activities, Old Town Trolley Tours is a fun and easy way to see the island, highlighting the best of Key West with 12 stops and more than 100 points of interest. The tour is designed so you can hop on and off and explore on your own. Your ticket is valid all day, so you can tour at your own pace. When it comes to water activities, your first option is the sailing and snorkeling trip, which is absolutely beautiful and lasts 3 hours. Snorkel North America's only living reef from a spacious catamaran. The trip begins as you board a state-of-the-art catamaran, part of the largest and most luxurious catamaran fleet in the Keys. Feel the excitement as you sail to North America's only living coral reef and enjoy unlimited sodas and water. Before entering the water, the friendly crew will be on hand to assist you. Once you descend the stairway to the sea, you will discover the wonders of the undersea with amazing coral reefs and an abundance of marine life. After snorkeling, ice-cold beer and white wine are served. While on board, the catamaran offers the ultimate in sailing and snorkeling comfort, featuring a stairway to the sea, large sun deck, shaded lounge area, fresh water showers, spacious bathrooms, sanitized snorkel gear, and professional instruction by a friendly crew. Wetsuits are also available for rent. If you're not a swimmer, you can still go snorkeling. life vests, and flotation devices are provided. The tour starts at 1 p.m. and ends at 4 p.m. every day. Don't miss out on this amazing experience. If you want to explore the underwater reef in comfort without having to actually get in the water, the Glass Bottom Boat Catamaran Tour is a great way to see it all. You can explore dramatic underwater vistas generally reserved for scuba divers from a glass bottom boat. A whole new world of fish and other sea creatures await you as you gaze into the underwater sea. Majestic elkhorn and brain coral stand sentry for the more than 300 species of fish that complete the colorful seascape. During the cruise, the captain and crew will provide an informative eco-tour and point out some of the marine life. Special glass windows to the reef provide continuous viewing for all passengers. The Glass Bottom Boat Catamaran Tour offers a seated sun deck, an air-conditioned viewing area, as well as restrooms and a snack bar. The catamaran's twin-hull design allows for maximum stability and much less rocking motion than traditional V-hull designs, so no need to stop for Dramamine on the way. The tour departs at 2 p.m. and returns at 4 p.m. daily. The snorkeling trip and the glass bottom boat tour are both amazing adventures for children and adults. Reservations are necessary. Please help support this app by purchasing your tickets from us. Discounted child prices are available. Children ages 1 to 5 are free. You can find more details about the water activities on the main page of the app or at our website, KeyWestBusTour.com. If you wish to speak with us directly, our phone number is 786-275-5387. Jet skiing, parasailing, and scooter rentals are also available.